This next step is made possible through a grant from Harutyun Kelaijan. You've heard about spiritual warfare. What's that all about? Well, it begins with prayer. And we're going to begin with prayer by going out to Standing Rock. An issue of environment, an issue of justice, or an issue of just standing around together. I'm Father Voskin. I'm a priest of the Armenian Church, connecting the dots between the emotional, the spiritual, the psychological, and the physical. This is episode number 454, and we're inviting you to take the next step with us right now.
Hi, this is Susie from In His Shoes, welcoming you to our ninth year of broadcasting The Next Step. The next step is a step, a stride, moving us forward. Here, Father Voskin provides his unique and distinctive voice for Armenian Orthodoxy, giving an intelligent and practical answer to the challenges of life, based on the solid principles of love, faith, and hope as expressed by Jesus Christ. It's a practical approach to melding spirit and passion in the real world. The next steps are serious, fun, informative, and most of all relevant, as religion should be. So get ready. We're taking the next step.
Everyone is here for their own reason. I couldn't get that out of my head. Some young guy told me that a couple days ago at Standing Rock, North Dakota. We just got back. Susan and I just got back early this morning. And it was the one statement that kind of really hit me, one that I took back with me, because we had gone to North Dakota not really sure what to expect. We had heard a lot of things. Of course, it's been on the news about this pipeline that they're taking through the Indian sacred lands, a pipeline filled with crude oil. They refer to it as the Black Snake. Appropriate, huh? The government wants to move this pipeline. DAPL, we learned about DAPL, the Dakota Access Pipeline. And there's been incredible protests, people going out there and protesting. And so we wanted to see it firsthand, but what was the reason? Was it because it's an environmental issue? The first day we got there, there was a beautiful Armenian flag next to a Palestinian flag. And we took a picture with the gentleman who you're going to hear in a few minutes. Actually, we did an interview with him. You're going to hear him in a few minutes. He goes by the name Revo, as in revolution. You're going to hear from Revo in just a few minutes. But we took a picture of him standing in front of the Armenian flag, Palestinian flag next to it. And we posted it that, hey, we arrived, because so many people, as you know, I had mentioned it last week on our show, and people have been asking, when are you getting there? Are you okay? Did you make it? Well, not knowing what to expect as far as the travel goes, but from the questions that I was getting, the different texts and people emailing me, like, are you all right? I kind of figured, okay, this is going to be more than just more than the standard fare of sitting in an airplane and getting off. And the question was, why are we there? Was it because of environmental issues? Certainly the environment. Beautiful environment. You're in snow as far as the eye can see, so your imagination starts going. I mean, when this snow melts, this is going to be just beautiful greenery from one side to the other. North Dakota. It's up there by the Canadian border. And this question's in the back of your head. Why are you there? Why are you up there? And I knew there was protest. I knew we had to be there because it wasn't just a case of protest, but there was a spiritual element to it. And I remember Dr. King's words, Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King, a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He said, in the end, we will remember not the words of our enemies, but the silence of our friends. And so if there's an injustice, you have to stand up for it. You have to make some noise about it. And so it was. We went out to North Dakota, to Standing Rock, because we had heard so much about it. We had read about it. We've been watching, following the news on the internet and media, in print and so on. But also, we had a friend out there. was standing there. And like I said, we took a picture of him with the Armenian flag and the Palestinian flag next to it. And somebody, when I posted it on the Facebook to say that, hey, we arrived, we were in North Dakota, we arrived at Standing Rock, somebody challenged it and said, I thought this was about the environment. What's the Palestinian flag doing up there? Whoa. Did this guy have a point, you know? It's an environmental issue. There's a pipeline going in, and you've got a Palestinian flag up there, which is definitely political and with all the ramifications. And this is before Trump met with Netanyahu. Oh, man, don't get me started on that one. But anyway, this is happening. And all of a sudden, it was an answer that I was seeking. This guy came up to me, and we were talking, and he said, everyone's here for a reason, their own reason. And of course, these are collective reasons. But everyone has their own reason for being here. And that's why I said it really clicked. Because it isn't an environmental issue alone. Yes, there's an environmental issue, but that's not what it's all only about. For some, it's an environmental issue. For others, they're there because of legal treaty rights. For others, it's a political issue. And for us, a group of us, at least for me, it's the issue of showing solidarity with a group in need of allies and support. We headed out of LAX. It was a beautiful trip getting there. Went through Minneapolis, returned a little bit longer than we expected. We missed the flight in the morning. Had to spend 6 hours in Bismarck, North Dakota Airport. And you haven't lived till you live. Wait 6 hours for a flight over there. It's a tiny little airport, which was quaint too. We just wonderful, wonderful people out there. It's remarkable once you get out of Los Angeles just to realize that, oh yeah, there are people who do smile, who are able to communicate. But don't get me started on Los Angeles problems and why we're there. I'm going to share with you, before we go on, I have a lot to share with you today, but what I'd like to do today, the way I want to see our program go, I want to share with you some thoughts and some expressions from a man who's been there for over a month now. I had a chance to meet him last month. We were probably around the beginning of the year or end of last year at the Abril bookstore in Glendale. And the owner there, Arno, a guy with a social heart. This was right after the Trump election called up a few friends and few people to talk about what's going on in this country in particular, about the intolerance towards people. And we participated in a demonstration. But just before that, I had a chance to meet this gentleman out in Glendale, and he was en route to Standing Rock. His background, born in Armenia, grew up in Beirut. He served in the United States military. He's a veteran. He's got an incredible resume when you hear it. And if you live with him for a few days like we did and you see his driving abilities, you go, wow, this guy, you know, you feel comfortable with this guy. So anyway, there's a lot to say about him, but that's not what the show is about today. It's about talking about what's going on in Standing Rock, and more so why I felt compelled to go there. You're going to hear it firsthand from him. And then what I want to do is come back and talk about it, because it's not just an environmental issue. It's not just about politics, but there's something very, very special, and there's a spiritual side to it. And that's the scope of our ministry. That's the scope of what we do through In His Shoes, is add that spiritual dimension to it. And when I heard about this, I knew I had to get out there. Because in a sense, here we are, they're putting to practice what we've been preaching all this time. That you can overcome the evil with good. You can overcome the darkness with the light. You don't keep pushing more darkness on people. And I come back with a very fulfilled heart and a spirit, knowing that there are people that are engaged in this spiritual warfare. And we had a chance to meet with the chief over there, who expressed it so beautifully. He says, against all these different kinds of warfare, he says, I'm engaged in a spiritual warfare. And guess what his one word was? Pray. That's what he said. He said, I want you to come out here and pray at Standing Rock. And so we met Revel, and we went out there to visit. And I want to share it with you, what he had to say. It was a few days of just enlightenment in many ways. And I'd like to share that with you right now. By the way, this was recorded at a place, a sacred place called Sacred Stone. And it is windy, cold beyond belief. Well, no, I shouldn't say that. I know all of you in different areas have described that cold differently. Let's just say it was cold for us Southern Californians, okay? I guess we're spoiled out here. You know that. Anyway, this is with Revel. It is windy. Ken has tried to filter it out using some software, but physical, we didn't have any physical filters out there to combat the wind. So you're going to hear the wind, but if you listen carefully, more important, you're going to hear a voice of reason, of talking about how we can achieve peace, how we can achieve those victories through a spiritual power and an energy that's inside all of us. It was an honor to be there to share this time with Revel, and it's a pleasure to share this with you right now, our listeners. So we're at Sacred Stone right now. Tell us a little bit about it.
This is Sacred Stone. This is where it all started back in March of last year. It started with about 10 of the elders meeting and doing prayer. For 94 days, they fasted and prayed. And after 94 days is when they made the call for more people to come and support this action. And a lot of people have come. At around Labor Day, there was about 12,000 people here. Since December 5th, when Obama put the EIS, the environmental impact study, pretty much on the back burner, he put it on the bottom of the list of environmental surveys. People considered that a win, and some of the tribal elders called it a victory, and asked for the campers, for the outsiders to leave. A lot of people left, and since then, because of the blizzards and the cold, some other people have left. So right now, our numbers are starting to come back up. But about 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, we were at the lowest number ever been. The Cheri Chitoan camp, which was an overflow camp across the river, Cannonball River, is under... Basically, they're clearing it up right now. They're cleaning up whatever they can and moving over to Sacred Stone. That camp there is going to be flooded as soon as the snow starts melting. Right now, it's a mud puddle. So I think there's probably 200, maybe 300 campers left over there. Most of the medics have moved up to the top of Sacred Stone. Others are moving. So,
tell me a little bit about the difference between what you guys are doing and say, why is it sacred? Why would and the work you're doing as far as sacredness?
Well, this whole movement is about prayer. It's a prayer camp, and we are on sacred grounds. Across the river from here, you can't see it right now, but behind the school right here is where Turtle Hill is, and that is sacred ground. It's a burial ground, and Martin County and Dapple have put up a lookout post on top of it, which is they're based on sacred ground. And This whole movement is a little different than the other movements that have been going on to stop pipelines. This is all about prayer, and it's been very effective so far. And we believe, and the elders believe, that they're pretty confident that we are going to win with prayer. Prayer is our weapon, and that's what gives us the moral high ground, keeping this movement peaceful. And you were saying, trying to put out fire with water as opposed to meeting their violence with more violence.
Tell Tell me a little bit about this prayer. Like, how do you justify it? Give me a little bit of your background. I know you come from a family that seen genocide, and now you're talking about horrific acts of violence. You're seeing it here, and you want to combat it with prayer. That I would imagine that most people hearing that would say, you're out of your mind. How do you put that all together as a person?
Well, I mean, before coming here, I would say the same thing. You're out of your mind.
Right.
I come from a... My grandfather was a survivor of genocide. I come from Lebanon. I was raised in Lebanon, and I don't know if you're aware, but I consider the Lebanese Armenian community the most militant of all the other communities, because most of the community was survivors or the descendants of survivors, so we had that fight still in us. And I'm a believer in armed struggle, but coming here and going to Ocheri, back in November, I couldn't help but notice the spirituality of the whole place. I mean, I had issues of my own, anger and stress, and by coming to that sacred, to that prayer camp, and going to the Shrine of Fire and praying, I realized that after about a week or so, most of my stress and anger was gone. And it's a healing place. A lot of people have said the same thing, that they have been healed or are being healed by being here. The Lakota values are very important and very humanitarian, like you said. And they're not just Lakota values, they're human values, which are prayer, respect, compassion, honesty, generosity, humility, and wisdom. And if everybody lived by those values, this planet would be a much better place to live. This is a community where people are taking care of each other, especially when we were having blizzards and extreme cold. The main thing was just the survival day to day, dealing with the elements, and people were there to help in any way. If there was, some people had come with summer tents or tents that were winterized. People would offer sleeping space, the community tent, the dome where all the orientation and the meetings take place was turned into a sleeping quarters during blizzard. And we're talking like minus 20 with about 40 mile an hour wind, so the wind chill brings it down to like minus 50. Anybody that's walking outside over an hour pretty much is done. People actually die in that kind of weather, you know. And we had some nights where people were missing, and the whole camp, the security in the camps, we went out on a search mission in the blizzard. And there was one night we had three people missing or not accounted for. We spent a couple of hours in those conditions, and we've either found them or accounted for them. So the biggest thing was helping each other to make it through the hard times. It's a little warmer now. We're in the 40s, and at night it's in the 20s, mid-20s. So it's more manageable, and also because of the recent activity by DAPL and Morton County and the National Guard, LaDonna, whose land, this is a private land, LaDonna's land.
So how was that? That's the introduction. We still got a little bit more. I did want to take a break right now, because first I want to apologize for the quality with the wind blowing, and I take the full responsibility for that, because it was really kind of like on a spur of the moment interview. We did have some other equipment, but when you see the layout of the camp, it's just inaccessible to get to the cars. And when these things happen, you just have to record. So we did do the recording. We had a lot of wind, and I don't know if we had even better equipment if we would have been able to compensate for that win. But I hope you got the gist of the message of what he's talking about. There's a second part to this interview, which he gets into some of the spiritual warfare and what's involved. You know, when the one thing that really struck us when we got to the camp was the seven Lakota values. He had placed these up on the wall as you go into the mess hall. Well, when I say mess hall, you know what it is. It's like everything is makeshift. They had some great yurts, which the Mongolian government had donated to the project, to the cause. Let's say it that way. These were really nice. There were some teepees, and these were very authentic. And you see them all around. They stand out. And, of course, there are some makeshift tents and other kind of materials that they put up. But they did have this little kitchen area. Well, it's not necessarily a mess hall, but a kitchen area where the food is cooked. And so as you're going into this kitchen area, he had placed this beautiful poster sign up there. And I do say beautiful. There's a picture on today's show notes. Do take a look at it. It's on cardboard. But the beauty of it is the message that is on that cardboard. It says the seven Lakota values: prayer, respect, compassion, honesty, generosity, humility, and wisdom. Think about that for a moment. Prayer, respect, compassion, honesty, generosity, humility, and wisdom. You think about that. That's the power that we have. Each of us has that. Lakota values. Aren't those the same as the Jesus values? Absolutely. You know why they're the same? Because what are they? They're humanity values. They're human values that each of us has to have. So one person calls it Lakota values. Other may call them Buddhist values. Other will call them Hindu values. Other will call them Christian values. You strip away all those different markings, it comes down to just human values. Prayer, respect, compassion, honesty, generosity, humility, wisdom. Think about it. Think about how much power there is in those seven values. We're going to go back to the interview in just a moment. As you know, we always play a song of the week. I picked out a very special song of the week. This comes to us off of an album back in 1996, which I had gotten. It's one of my favorites because it is one of the early fusion, a fusion between Armenian and Native American. Namely, this is Dele Yaman. It's called The Wings of Fire. It's off of this album that I found really by chance back then. I do remember even finding it. What is that, 20 years ago? Over 20 years ago. I found this album, and I do want to share with you because it is the melding of the Armenian tradition with the Native American tradition. This is Dele Yaman, a very, very popular song among Armenians and done in a very spiritual means using Native American instrumentation. Thank you. That is Deleyaman, very popular Armenian song called Wings on Fire. It is off of an album called Visions Within, Ivan Danielian. We play a song every week. We hope you enjoyed this week. Kind of fits in with the theme, doesn't it? It's actually a pretty long song. It goes over 11 minutes. I shared with you a little bit of it, because we do have our time limitations. But if you do like it, like every week, we have the link on today's show notes. Do check it out and do support the artists that we feature over here, because it's a nice way of saying, hey, we appreciate the music. Because that's another very spiritual dimension that keeps us going. It inspires us, doesn't it? Anyway, I hope you enjoyed that one. Wings of Fire, Deleyaman, off of an album called Visions Within. Ivan Danielian. So we're talking about this idea of how can we overcome that evil, injustice, and do it in such a way where we're not inciting more violence, more hatred, more evil. You remember last year during the 100th anniversary of the Armenian Genocide, it was really the ultimate question we had in building the 100-year journey exhibition with our dear friend Gregory Baylarian. And this was an art exhibit that went on for not only the 3 weeks that we had it in the Armenian circles, but it was picked up by the city of Burbank for 6 weeks. And that was in a mall. And the whole idea of this was, of the 100-year journey, was how do we present something as horrific as the Armenian Genocide with over 1.5 million martyrs? Let's use the word for it. 1.5 million people murdered, slain. The words that the perpetrator used, exterminated. In other words, beyond being human, not even classified as human, they were exterminated. That's what they used, annihilated. How do you express something that horrific in terms that doesn't incite more violence or more hatred? And that was what we had in front of us. That was the challenge. And I think that was the success of the 100-year journey, in that we were able to succeed in presenting something completely positive out of that negativity. And it's the idea that we have here in his shoes, too, of how can we walk in the shoes of others and really repay that hatred with the goodness, with love, with kindness. And so when we meet someone like Revel, when we meet someone like Chief American Horse, who we referred to, we had an opportunity to meet with him in the morning and have breakfast with him and share some ideas. You meet these people who are on the front line fighting for justice, fighting the for their rights, for their basic rights to live. How does that translate? How can you say that we will fight with it's seemingly ineffective means? Seemingly prayer. How ineffective is it? Or how effective is it, right? That's the second part of today's interview. We'll go back to Standing Rock. Again, big apologies for the sound. Blame it on the environment. That was the wind that was blowing. But listen up, because there is a beautiful message. This is the second part of the interview at Sacred Stone with Revel.
There is a village over here called Yurt Village in Sacred Stone, which is also on Army Corps land that is moving. So when we're done, all the yurts and teepees and tents are going to be on private land owned by LaDonna Brable Lard. And she has been very generous and very supportive. She was one of the original elders that started this whole movement by prayer. And yeah, every day it's getting more organized. And
well, let me ask you about the prayer part, because it was interesting. This morning we met with your chief, the chief over here, and He said something interesting. He was spiritual warfare. He was in spiritual warfare. And then we hear all these stories of DAPL, chemical even, psychological, all kinds of warfare. And Chief felt very confident that that spiritual warfare could beat that out. Can you talk a little bit about that? How do you put that all together? I mean, those are pretty powerful things, what they're doing. Psychological, chemical, electronic warfare. And now you're coming there with power, with prayer. And Chief was very adamant about that. I mean, he believed in it. He not only talked the talk, he believed in it.
Well, I mean, there is a higher power, the power of creator. And the DAPL, the pipeline, cannot be completed if the creator does not want it to be completed. So this is very spiritual camp, and people here start off their day with prayer at the sacred fire. Now, the sacred fire is a fire that keeps going 24 hours a day. There are fire keepers that take turns to make sure that, you know, it's taken care of. And
For our listeners, tell us the four things that you could add to the sacred
fire. So the sacred fire is a fire where you can go and pray at any time of the day, but it's the two prayers, the morning prayer and the night prayer, are very important. You go to the sacred fire and you say your prayer, and you can make offerings to the fire. There are four medicines that are allowed as offerings, which are sage, tobacco, river grass, and cedar. And each one signifies a different, like sage is for purification. When you're done with your prayer, you put your offering into the fire, and you can pray any way you want. It's not a requirement. There is no rules as far as how you want to pray. The prayer is between you and your creator, so it's just whatever you think is appropriate at the time. Personally, I usually ask for strength and patience. That's two things we need to fight this. We also pray for the people on the other side. We pray for them, for guidance for them to realize that this battle is not just for our children and our grandchildren, it's also for their grandchildren and children. So prove that, you know. And like I like to say to people, it's like, if you don't join this fight and your grandchildren come up to you one day and ask you why they don't have clean drinking water, why the air is so polluted, why the planet is so destroyed, and they ask you, like, back when there was this battle, the struggle going on against the pipelines, what were you doing? How did you contribute to this struggle? What are you going to tell your grandchildren if you're not here fighting this battle? You know, how are you going to answer them? You know, how can you look them with a straight face and tell them that, you know, I wasn't concerned, I didn't think it was important, I didn't think, you know, the water was jeopardized or at risk of losing the planet? You know, this whole thing is about, to me, I'm an anti-capitalist. This whole thing, the way I look at it, this is the front line between humanity and capitalism. This is the front line between life and death, because capitalism is pretty much destroying the planet. They only concern about profits. They find shale oil at the bottom of a mountain. That mountain is not a mountain to them anymore. It's an obstacle. The obstacle has to come out of the way for them to be able to get to the shale oil and make the profits, to make the money. They worship money, basically, instead of worshiping a higher being, the creator. And that's a failing ideology, the ideology that we can take out of the planet whatever we want, because it was God-given right for us to take whatever we need. I think that's that's, I mean, like I said, it's destroying the planet. And once you destroy this planet, there is no other planets we can live on. I mean, they're searching for life on Mars. Instead of searching for life on Mars, why don't we try to save life on this planet? It's a lot easier to do that than it is to go and move everybody to Mars, you know?
Tell me about the Armenian factor in this whole thing. How does your Armenianness play into this? I mean, like, why? I think it's very special that you came here, specifically.
So the history of the United States that we learn in high schools and public schools is a myth, is a bunch of lies, basically. This country was founded on genocide. The indigenous people of this land were wiped out to make this country, the United States. Over 15 million of the indigenous people were wiped out. As Armenians, we talk about our genocide being the first genocide of the 20th century. Well, 200 years before that, the people of this land were being wiped out. It was genocide, even though the word genocide wasn't coined back then, but the whole thing was about extermination, about taking the land by wiping out the people that used to own that land, and then rewriting history by erasing all signs of them being here. They build on top of sacred grounds. The genocide never ended, just like our genocide. It's an ongoing genocide. For example, what happened in Tessa a few years ago, what happened in Aleppo a few months ago, that's the continuation of the Armenian genocide. People think that we're exaggerating and crying wolf when we talk about that, but it's not. It's the people that were attacking Kassab were mostly Turkish volunteers, Turkmen volunteers. The people that were attacking, they were bombing the Armenian community of Aleppo, were Turkish volunteers, Great Wolf volunteers, and they were strictly targeting Armenian community. So the genocide never ended. Same thing here. The genocide of the indigenous people of what we call the United States never ended. This is part of the genocide. Going through indigenous lands without permission, jeopardizing their water, and if that pipe bursts, it's going to affect the drinking water of over 10 million people that live downriver, and they're mostly indigenous people. So they're indigenous people are looked at as expendable.
Okay.
They don't count. Yeah. You know, this pipeline was originally supposed to go through Bismarck, and the residents of Bismarck, being mostly white American, didn't want to put that through their area, jeopardizing their water, so they opted to go through indigenous lands downriver. So if anything happens here, it's going to affect mostly indigenous people. They don't count. So that's why we're here, trying to stop this genocide, trying to stop the destruction of the planet, the destruction of the water, the drinking water. Water is life. You know, as they say over here, water is life. Mini Wichoni in the Lakota language. You cannot exist without water. When we go to Mars or any other planets, the first thing that we look for is signs of water. If we see water, we think there's life there. Our bodies are composed mostly of water, 85%. The planet is mostly water. So no animals or plants can exist without water. This fight is not just for us, the humans. This is for all our relatives, the four-legged, the relatives that fly, the relatives that swim. This is for all of us. This is for all the generations that are coming. This is not just about ourselves. This is even for the people on the other side, their children, their grandchildren. We pollute the water, and then what are we going to do? How are we going to get water? They say over here, you can't drink money, you can't eat money, You can't grow anything, food, without water. You know, it's...
Very well, yeah, very well said. Let's just end it with a little personal note. So you're here for a little while longer, right?
Yes.
And then you're heading out to paradise, right? You're going to Armenia.
I'm moving back to Armenia. I was born there. I lived there 2 years before moving to Lebanon. Was raised in Lebanon until the Civil War. We lived a year in Civil War. I've been here too long, and it's time for me to go and start enjoying life as opposed to being a slave to the system. You know, especially in Los Angeles where I live, it's a rat race. You know, no matter where you get a job, you're going to be stuck on the freeway an hour and a half each way. Wasting your life on the freeway, that's not life, that's existence.
You're speaking to a lot of us, but I mean, it's commendable what you're doing. I want to thank you for making the time to share this with us and our listeners, and wish you all the best. God's blessings on you.
You're very welcome, and I appreciate, I'm very lucky to have the privilege and honor to be here in this struggle, to be part of the struggle, which is very important, like I said. And it is really a privilege to be here, to be part of this struggle.
Thank you. God bless. That was Revo from Sacred Stone. A rather noisy interview. Sorry about that. I can't express enough how sorry I am about all that extra noise there. But it was a spur of the moment interview, and I hope you listened to the content. There was so much in there. He talked about praying, the importance of prayer. Prayer for the enemies. Well, not in those words, but prayer for the other side. And you know, we come back to Christ's message of love. You know, you've heard that you love your friends and you hate your enemies, but I tell you to love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Wild. Pray for those who persecute you. And he was talking about the other side, praying for all people. Because, you know, there's a saying that, you know, we don't inherit this world from our ancestors. We really borrow it from our children. And you don't feel it until you go to a place like that. You go to a place like Standing Stone. We are borrowing this from our children. And not just our children, the children of the people that want that pipeline put in. People who want to destroy the environment. These are all of our children. This world, this planet, we're borrowing it right now from our children. And you've got to worry about that by making the right actions and decisions today. He talked about the creator. He talked about his Armenian factor, about the genocide and how important it was for him to be there. And, of course, if you heard it, if you listened to it, you know why I was out there, right? You heard him. If you've been listening to The Next Step, you know that we're on the same path. And it was just really refreshing to hear somebody articulate as Revo did. You know, all of this is still new for me. I just got in this morning, and I'm going to be writing more about it. I'm going to be blogging about it because I had a chance to talk with people. I had a chance to share some insights with people, a fascinating meeting with the chief, and I had a chance to do a little bit more research on LaDonna. There is so much that I do want to share with you. Do check out my blog during the week. It'll be, of course, on Facebook, but I'm at armadoxy.blogspot.com. Do check that out. Listen, we're going to take a break right now. Susie will make her announcement. When I get back, I'll be sharing with you what's coming up and also how you can get involved right now with what's going on over there at Standing Rock. Here's Susie with her announcement.
Susie here again. Before continuing with today's broadcast, I'd like to take this opportunity to remind you that this podcast is made possible through your prayers and generous donations. We are now in the ninth year of producing shows which are heard around the globe. Since 2008, we've provided quality programming through podcasts, educational videos, and streams, using technology's most current resources. The message of Armenian Orthodoxy, or as Father Vazgen calls it, Armadoxy, is giving people an intelligent and practical answer to many of life's difficulties, including the challenge to bring peace to a hurting world. Please take a moment now to visit inhisshoes.org and press on the donate button. Your encouragement goes a long way. Thanks for listening and God bless. We now return to this week's Next Step with Father Vazgen.
Well, thank you, Susie, for that announcement, and thanks to all of you, our listeners. Thanks for your prayers, for your support, for your kind gestures and thoughts. We really appreciate it. Every one of your prayers is felt over here, and this is what was so beautiful about going out to Standing Rock. I mean, we felt the power of prayer, something that we feel all along, right? We know the power of prayer, but it was just so refreshing to see it on a larger scale and to see these people coming together and praying. We met with Chief American Horse, and his message was very clear. He says, we are in a spiritual warfare. That spiritual warfare, we have our weapons, which is the prayer. And he's emphasizing that in the community at Standing Rock. As you heard Revos talk about it, there is a sacred fire, a place where people go and they offer their prayers. And it was just so beautiful to hear people in that moment of prayer expressing the words of their heart. These were heart expressions of the heart. Just beautiful. And you know, this is what's so needed today in the world. I sat at a meeting where you heard Revo talk about a lady named LaDonna. I'll have a link on today's show notes with everything that he talked about, all the relevant links. And one of them will be a video that she made, as well as the person herself. You've got to meet her, because we had this beautiful, you know, Revo kept telling us that you've got to meet LaDonna. And I didn't understand why it was so important until I was there in her presence. And she does have a presence. She was talking with the chief American Horse, and they were discussing. And what was interesting about this discussion, It was what I remembered discussions to be. It was basically Facebook without the Facebook. In other words, what life was like before, you'd sit there and you'd have a discussion with somebody. You'd share ideas. You'd interact. You would tell the person if you're pleased or not pleased with his or her responses to your questions, to your challenges in life. And it was so refreshing to see this kind of dialogue, to see this kind of communication. And that's taking place within the tribes, within the gatherings, within the local communities. And it's on this that Chief American Horse told me, he said, we will win. He said, we will win with prayer. And all we can say to that is an amen. Amen. Listen, I know people are going to ask, how can we get involved? I don't know specifics, except I do know that you do need to write. And there will be some information on our show notes. But the specifics, one of the people that I met in the camps, he said that he was going to give us like a draft letter that we could send. But in the meantime, if you're inclined to make a donation also, there's needs and over there, I will be happy to pass that along. 100%, whatever you give in his shoes, just earmark it for Standing Rock, and we'll be happy to pass that along to Revo when we do see him, or in another form. I believe he's coming out in a couple weeks to Los Angeles to take care of a few things and then heading back to the camp. So that's one. And I know it's difficult. There's so many commitments and everything, but there's so many ways that you can help. It's not just about giving money, but it's a way of writing, of articulating. This is about environment. It's about rights, about treaty rights. It's about human rights. It's about looking at people and saying that, wait, nobody should be subjected to what these people are going through. When you think about the treaties that we have signed with the Native Americans and reneging on them, somebody expressed, well, you know, I said, how could they renege? Well, they said, well, it's easy. Because it's a law, there's a fine. So they pay the fine and they're done with it. If even they do that. But you can make a difference. Right. Those letters are important. Imagine if they get a million letters. Imagine if they get 100,000 letters. And imagine if they get 5 letters. What do you think that's going to persuade them? Because at the end of the day, everybody's looking for their votes. They need those votes, those politicians. So there's a lot of dynamics. As I said at the beginning of the show, there's reasons why people are there. There's some for the environment. Some people are there for politics, others for justice, others to stand in solidarity, as we went, you know, to stand in solidarity. But whatever the reason is, there's a reason why people are there. And these are good reasons. They're reasons that bring people together. For me, I wanted to feature this on today's Next Step because there is a spiritual angle to this. Spiritual warfare. And there is a formula there that has been talked about since the beginning of time when the Jesus Christ articulated so beautifully about loving, the power of love, the power of resurrection over crucifixion, the power of winning without killing, without hatred, without escalating the violence, but doing the right thing. At some point during our stay there, some gentleman came up to us and he was talking and he says, nobody has the trademark on doing the good. Always do the good. And I was greeted by people like this. Some may call them angels. Some may just call them people, whatever they are. But people who bring a message of hope and a message of love. We had a lot of opportunities to hear that. Listen, before I leave for today, I do want to remind you that we have an incredible conference coming up in a couple weeks, and that's called the Reclaim Conference, Embracing Our Faith in a Changing World. Certainly when you hear about things like Standing Rock, it is a changing world. You need to embrace your faith. You need to embrace our faith to be able to articulate it and to be able to work through this crazy world that we're in. Please participate. If you happen to be in the Los Angeles area, March 10th, 11th, 12th, do make your reservations now. If you're not, beg, borrow, or steal. Take whatever you need to get there, to be in Los Angeles. We're going to be in Burbank for 3 days. It's called Embracing Your Faith, Reclaiming the Armenian Church, and it is a conference for you. Next Step listeners, there'll be a link on today's show notes. Do check it out and make your reservations as quick as you can. Finally, let me let you know where I'm going to be this weekend. Last week, thank you for accepting me over there in Van Nuys. That was pretty cool, huh? I had never had a chance to celebrate, be in the celebration of the Divine Liturgy. And so I had a chance over at St. Peter Van Nuys. Next week, we will be at the St. John Garabed Church in San Diego, California. That's this coming Sunday. If you happen to be in the area, please do come stop by and say hello. That's the St. John Garabed Armenian Church in San Diego. Hey, that wraps it up for us today. I hope you enjoyed today's show as much as we enjoyed producing it for you. I want to thank you and thank our guest today, Revo, for the time he spent with us over there at Standing Rock, sharing his environment, sharing all that was going on, and for the time that he made to share his thoughts with you, the listeners, on behalf of you. And I want to thank you all for joining us today. Hey, listen, on behalf of Susie, our producer, Ken, our engineer, this is Father Voskin inviting you to join us again next week when we will take the next step.
And now here's the fine print. The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the Next Step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the Next Step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskullness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of vpostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience. Not valid with any other offer.
You're seeing the same sky as we are.